to be wishing a lot of solidarity vibes down to the people protesting against Wall Street bankster scumbaggery that is going down all over the place, including downtown and Chinatown. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the lighter side of genocide. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I have a guest for y'all today, ladies and gentlemen. You know how the fact of the matter is we're living in a new world order, quote-unquote, whatever name you want to give reference to it, it's everywhere. Corruption in the courts, corruption in the stock market, corruption in the streets, whatever. There's some description of fascistic element that is coming out of everybody's nation. Those in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, Pacific Ocean, Atlantic, wherever you are, there is some kind of conspiring group of sociopathic kleptocrat scumbags who are stealing everything, destroying what it means to be human, and taking away your dignity. So Canada is one of these places as well, and we have a special guest from Canada named Adam from underoccupation.com. That's Alan Letterlick, as in let a lick into him now. Adam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on.
Well, can you tell us just a little bit about, you know, yourself and Canada and what you're actually doing over there at underoccupation.com?
Well, I grew up in Toronto, and I went to university out in Vancouver, and I was pretty much just a normal kid enjoying university, and then I happened to stumble upon Loose Change on the internet, and sort of woke up to 9/11 being an inside job, and I joined the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society. And so I sort of got into the whole conspiracy world through that, and I moved back here to Toronto a few years ago, and I guess where my website and everything came in is there was a G20 summit here in the summer of 2010, last summer, that I attended, and sort of what I saw at the G20... I decided to make a documentary about it because the stuff they were showing on TV and on the media wasn't really showing what really happened. And I had sort of been, you know, I was there, so I witnessed what I saw. And then I went home and looked on YouTube, and everyone had uploaded all their videos, and people on Facebook were telling their stories, and there were all sorts of crazy, insane horror stories. And so I sort of took everyone's sort of YouTube videos and put it all together in chronological order to sort of show what really happened at the G20 when the police state came to my city, which, you know, I never really thought would happen. Like, I had seen a lot of, you know, the police state stuff and a lot of that. I was like, oh, that's, you know, stuff that happens in America and, you know, the United States cops are pretty crazy. I didn't really think that sort of stuff would happen here. I didn't think it would really come to my front door. But we had this weekend-long summit here in the city, and there was, I think, about 19,000 police officers on duty over that weekend. They spent over $1 billion. I think they spent $1.2 billion, and about $1 billion of it was on security alone. And so we had, you know, the police with the full riot gear, with the riot shields, and sort of all this police state stuff that everyone was saying, oh, it's coming to your town, it's coming to your town, and it really was there for me to see. So, so I made a documentary about that. And what I wanted to do with my documentary was show everyone what happened at the G20 and how the police really abused Canadians and violated all their charter rights. And initially I was just going to do that documentary, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, I got this DVD. I can maybe put some extra chapters on there, maybe throw in some stuff about 9/11, throw in some stuff about the economy. And then I was sort of adding this extra chapter stuff, and it sort of turned into other documentaries, and I decided, okay, well, I'll just have my G20 documentary, and then I'll sort of make one about 9/11, and then one sort of about the North American Union, the economy, and the New World Order. And so what I ended up with was my website, underoccupation.com, and three full-length documentaries that are on YouTube. So when you're done listening to the interview, you can all go to underoccupation.com and watch my three documentaries from the website, and they're all on YouTube, and they're all for free. So, yeah, that's sort of how I ended up here on the show.
Yep. Well, have you noticed that there's an increased use of police force just in general? Like, if you've been looking all over the world, it seems to be ramping up simultaneously. Like, at the same time that the G20 protests were going on in Toronto, same year or what have you, we have similar police state measures being implemented in American cities, being implemented in London, and even in some European cities during protests and demonstrations. And I'd thought that probably wouldn't happen here in New Zealand for maybe about a year or two later or something like that. Sure enough, here we are, a year or two later, and it did happen on a quiet little, you know, Pacific Paradise-esque, nuclear-free and name-only New Zealand. Police state, 45 cops showed up to suppress 65 protesters.
Jeez. Yeah, that was pretty similar to the G20. Like, in most cases, the protesters were outnumbered by police. The G20, it started off very peacefully. There was, again, a ton of police everywhere, but initially there was a peaceful parade, basically, is what it was, mostly sort of union people and people fighting for women's rights. And there was, I think the media said maybe about 60,000 people just sort of peacefully marching through the city. And I had, you know, I went and had a big 9/11 was an inside job sign and met up with some other truthers, and we sort of had like a, you know, nice stroll through the city. We were surrounded by police the whole time, but nothing really violent at all was happening. And sort of after the main, you know, parade protest sort of had ended, there was this group now sort of known as the Black Bloc sort of broke off from the protest, and they started, you know, sort of smashing police cars, and they went down, you know, some of these main streets in Toronto, smashing windows, and there was some police cars that were sort of left in the middle of the street, and they set some of those on fire. And, like, I didn't even know any of this stuff was happening. I was hearing some other people were on, you know, their cell phones and on Twitter and stuff, and they're like, oh, there's tear gas, this, and cars are burning. And, you know, I didn't really know what was happening, because from what I had seen, everything was peaceful, and the cops, even though they looked pretty scary and menacing at first, you know, they weren't really bothering anyone, and we were all protesting very peacefully. But then I was sort of, we were all sort of ready to go home, and I sort of heard this commotion around the corner, and I went around the corner, and there were these two police cars just abandoned in the middle of the street that had been all smashed up. And I walk up to them, and there's maybe a crowd of 100 people just sort of standing around, like, looking at these cars. And there was one guy who's looked like some drugged out hippie who was in the front seat of one of these cop cars. He was smoking a joint. He was playing with the megaphone, playing with the sirens and making all sorts of noise. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, this guy's pretty silly. There's literally cops everywhere downtown. Like, it's only a matter of, you know, 5 minutes, I expected, oh, the cops are going to come arrest this sort of crazy kid, right? And sort of 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and I'm looking up and down the street, and there's not a single cop anywhere in sight. And I'm like, well, this is strange, because there's a ton of cops here just, you know, half an hour ago, and there were cops literally everywhere. And sort of after half an hour went by, we all realized, oh, the cops aren't coming. They're just leaving these cars here in the middle of the street, and everyone around these cars sort of realized. They're saying, oh, they're just going to show these cars on TV to make all the protesters look violent. And even a girl had some washable paint and wrote on one of the cop cars, this car is bait, a.k.a. a prop, which I thought was, you know, very fitting. And so I just eventually started to walk home, and, you know, the subways were all closed down, and I was walking back up north, and Queen's Park, which was sort of the designated protest zone, was all blocked off with a line of riot police, and they said, you can't go north, you can't go east, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll walk west, and I stopped at a bar on the way home for a beer, because it was, you know, like an hour-long walk carrying my sign. And I see that the car that I had been standing around like an hour or two ago was up in flames. And so right then I knew, well, something's, you know, seriously wrong, because these cars were literally just abandoned there. There wasn't a single cop anywhere in sight around them. And they obviously left them there to be vandalized and burned. And then, you know, lo and behold, on the TV, all the mainstream media was saying, oh, look at these violent protesters burning police cars. Stuff like that, and so I knew right from then that this was all basically a setup designed to sort of demonize peaceful protesters and justify this $1 billion worth of security. And then in the subsequent days and weeks, then all the horror stories came out about how, you know, 1,000 people were arrested. They didn't arrest any of the Black Bloc people. All those, the people actually doing the vandalism, they all got away with everything. The cops totally stood down. There again, when the vandalism was happening, they all pulled back, and you could see that from people's YouTube videos. Because one of the things that I think was really different about the G20 here in Toronto is that everyone these days has cameras on their video cameras, normal cameras. Everyone has things on their cell phones, and so there were literally hundreds or even thousands of videos then posted on YouTube. So it was really easy then to connect the dots to find out exactly what happened, and we didn't have to just rely on the mainstream media reporting.
And well, so it seems pretty obvious that the cops just purposely left the car there and then dressed themselves up as protesters and came and smashed up their own car in order to demonize the protesters and get some good pictures for the media.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what happened. Like, we have... Like, I certainly wouldn't say that all the people in the Black Bloc costumes were police, or we really don't have any evidence that any of them were police. There's certainly, it's come out that those groups had been heavily infiltrated. Certainly the cops knew what they were doing. I'm sure most of them are just sort of naive kids thinking they're...
Well, that's what happens in America, right? You see all these new militant groups or whatever come up, and it turns out that they're all being set up by the FBI. Like, the FBI comes in and actually sets these groups up, poses as their leaders and things like that, and just directs all these people to do this stuff. And they're just, you know, mindless, like a cult.
I start off my G20 documentary with a prologue of the Security and Prosperity Partnership protest that happened in the province of Quebec in 2007.
You're not against partnership, are you?
Oh, of course not. That's everyone's for partnership, right? Common security borders.
It's more like if you're involved in a shipping company, this is going to take apart your ship rather than be a partnership. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people are basically just corporate raiders who are going to screw everything, okay, down to the ground where it cannot be taken back.
this is sort of all an extension of NAFTA and stuff like that. But in that protest, there were three people who it came out were police officers who were dressed up as the Black Bloc, and they were trying to instigate the other protesters into getting violent. And the protesters figured out, hey, these guys are cops, and, you know, someone pulled their mask down, and they denied that they were police, but then someone caught a video of them wearing the identical boots as the cops were wearing, and so clearly that these three guys are wearing the same boots with the it had a yellow circle kind of at the bottom of the sole of it, and so obviously that when they were wearing the same boots and that came out, then they had to admit, oh yeah, these were cops. So we don't really have that kind of hard evidence in the Toronto G20. Like, we didn't catch them wearing, you know, police-issued gear, but it's pretty obvious that...
I think they just... they just learned from last time not to get caught wearing the same boots. So this time they changed their shoes as well. And they basically kind of like, have you ever seen the movie Predator? You know how the Predator learns and then it learns to be a better Predator to continuously kill you and rip your spine out and stuff? That's what's going on.
Yeah, so like it's pretty obvious that at the very least they stood down. And, you know, there were articles in the mainstream newspapers that a couple cops had said, oh, we were ordered to stand down, and you can look at some of the videos, and as the Black Bloc is approaching, they all sort of pull back and basically clear a path for them to go through. So,
and then close off the path behind them, kettle them into a small area where they can't move, and each one of line of cops on either end tell the people, just go to the other side. You can't come through this side. So people keep going back and forth, and the cops keep coming closer and closer and closer and closer, and then just mass arrest everybody.
Yeah, well, that was the second day. That was on the Sunday. So this was after all the Black Bloc people had gone. So the police only moved in after all the vandals and the Black Bloc people had left and fled the scene and had escaped, basically. And it was then that the police started, doing this kettling tactic against totally innocent people who had nothing to do with the Black Bloc, who were just there peacefully protesting. You know, there was no sign of any of this, especially on the second day, and in the end, the police go after them. So.
Yeah, well, it seems whatever little situation you find yourself in as a corporate dictator kleptocrat in any city that is having a lot of people, you know, not being obedient, it's a good idea to just basically set them up and get everybody else to hate them. That way it does half the work for you. We'll be right back after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button.
Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it, that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
Jackbooted thugs coming into your home. For the time for the New World Order is a-coming, and they're gonna spray you with mace right in your face, for the times they are a-changing. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the spiciest 2 hours in talk radio. My very special guest today is coming at us from the fabulous police state in Canada. His name is Adam Letterlick. And it's very difficult. Where did that name Letterlick come from? Because let alone Letterlick, I can't remember it. I'm sorry.
I think it's actually a Czech name. My father's family's German, so they have a German passport and a Canadian passport. So.
Yeah. Hey, a friend of mine was actually traveling with a New Zealand and a UK passport one time. It went through the United States. Oh, no, she was doing American and New Zealand, actually, passports, and she's traveled through, and the TSA had to take one of her passports off her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can't travel on dual passports, man, not through the USSA.
After getting a grope down there?
Yeah. It's got to be a grope down. Grope down. Right down there. Oh, yeah. Grope down. I'm sorry. TSA, you know, squeezing my testicles always makes me want to burst into song in a high-pitched voice.
Yep. Cheap thrills at the airport.
It'll do, you know, next time I get groped by them, and I scarcely say I actually ever will, just going to ask them, do you see anything you like down there?
I heard some people were taking Viagra before they went just to you know, spice up the grope down a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, look, these people are in there. It's a hard job. They really have to get down on their knees sometimes and do what's necessary to protect the country. So why shouldn't you spice up their job a little, you know? Help to relieve some of the tension.
Yeah, seriously, those people should really all just quit their job, because even though it's like a bad economy and everything, like, there's really no excuse to, you know, become a police officer or become a TSA agent or to join the army or anything like that. There's really no, you know, just like there's no excuse for, you know, becoming a gang member or dealing drugs because there's a bad economy. You shouldn't sort of sell out like
that. I don't know. I mean, like, I would have an excuse. If I was a pedophile, for example, then I would count that as a good excuse to go and join the TSA. Because, incidentally, a document got leaked and they have something like 30,000 plus people with pedophile backgrounds working for the TSA.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. I don't know what kind of normal person would want that job. And whatever, at least they're all getting sort of radiated every day by those machines. So that's some sort of justice.
Yeah, well, the problem is they're also irradiating the passengers. Now, under the U.S. Department of Defense, like U.S. codes and stuff like that, it is illegal to irradiate people, okay, in any way, shape, or form, unless it's through the Department of Homeland Security, which is, or Department of Transportation, unless they authorize it.
There's a lot of things that are illegal or unconstitutional that just happen. So,
but
it's against the law.
But the problem is they write the law for everybody else and then write exemptions within the law for themselves?
That is what they do, unfortunately, yes. But, even though you point to the law, you say, oh, there's a law against this or you shouldn't be doing that, it doesn't really seem to matter, especially if, you know, the government can break all the laws they want. It seems they got all the guns and the military and the police, and so there's really not a lot we can do about that.
This may shock you.
Protest it, but just pointing out, oh, this is illegal. It doesn't really seem to do. You know, they don't really seem to care.
Yeah, sociopathic criminals don't seem to care what laws they break. They don't feel any empathy or feel any real responsibility for the things that they do. So, I would say that the main point is not to protest per se. Like, protesting is an important part just so you've got some background visuals, right? But it's the commentary, the context. The speakers at the protest are the people you should be really focusing on, the little conversations that happen small, out-of-the-way places with, outside of the protest, that where you elaborate on what's going on, break it down for people so that they can comprehend what is happening. Those are the parts of protest that actually really matter. It doesn't matter how many people got there. Doesn't matter how many people got arrested. What matters is the issues themselves and whether or not people can wake up to the truth of it, right? That's what protesting, in my experience, has always been about. People, a whole group of people realize a truth. They come together to try and get that message out. The media never turns up, ergo the message never gets out.
That's a pretty sad state of affairs, really. And especially with an issue like the TSA, like nobody's really supporting it. Like, I don't know what the polls are saying, but I would imagine like probably 90% of people are against it, and yet it's supposed to be a democracy, and yet it still, you know, keeps going on. So even if you get everyone on your side, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change anything. Just, you know, if you change public opinion or get people aware of things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, public opinion and the way to get that is media, right? And now we've got the technology where I actually now outrank most of the mainstream media's YouTube channels in New Zealand now on YouTube. Okay?
Congratulations.
Well, it's not really a congratulations because they've still got 1.5 million plus viewers on the mainstream media networks, right? I may be making them look bad online, but the point of the fact is people no longer care about their mainstream media per se. Like, they only watch it on TV because it's on, it's free, whatever, and they're having dinner or something while they quietly ignore it.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before it's all sort of fully integrated with the internet and people will just be watching YouTube instead of watching TV. And it's already, it's already sort of changed that way. Like, I watch way more stuff on the internet than I do on television. I just sort of watch hockey games on TV. That's about it, really.
Yeah, sporting events and general news about nothing. And again, I come back to the point about context. If you don't know where something came from in order for this event to happen and what's planned for the future after this event, then you're wasting the public's time by saying this person died in a ditch somewhere. Huh. They didn't tell you the
life story of that person, or that they got cut up into 9 or 10 pieces or something and dumped into the side of the road by the local sheriff, whose coroner was a good buddy of his and then ruled it a suicide. You know, they don't explain that kind of background detail because they want to dumb everybody down. There really does have to be an intelligent, analytical dialogue with reporting. Reporting shouldn't be just about the facts. It should also be about the history.
Yeah, and in Canada, we, you know, there is every once in a while like a grain of truth in some of these programs. And ironically enough, it's the CBC, which is our like government-run television station, like the BBC in England. It's actually the CBC will actually occasionally come out with a few decent stories. And with respect to the G20, they actually did a 1-hour documentary about the G20, which was, you know, very similar to mine, like showed things from a very similar perspective. So every once in a while, there is sort of a bit of truth on the mainstream media and just on television, but it's, you know, interspersed. Like, it's pretty rare, you know, to find some good stuff on there. But that's why YouTube is so great and the internet, or radio shows and everything, because, you know, we can, you know, we don't have to sift through all the garbage to find a little nugget of truth. We can, you know, pick and choose, you know, the people we want to listen to. So, happy with, you know, that now some of these events like the G20 and stuff, we're able to get the truth out online, and, you know, it doesn't really matter what the mainstream media says. And because we got the truth out online, it actually forced the mainstream media to start covering it a little bit. And the main newspaper here in Toronto, the Toronto Star, was actually very helpful in getting the truth out about the G20. They didn't really write much about it for the first few months after the G20. You know, they'd write a few, you know, stories, you know, oh, the Black Bloc this, and oh, maybe they spent too much money. But then as everyone was talking about this stuff online, finally then the Toronto Star was like, hey, maybe these people have a point. And as soon as they would write a story about it, it became the most popular story on, you know, on their website, and then the reporters started wanting to write more and more about the G20, and then it seemed like there was a couple weeks there where it seemed like every single day there was a new front page story, and it was actually the Toronto Star that identified some of these police officers who had assaulted some of the peaceful protesters, because you know, there are all sorts of people who were you know, who were assaulted by police, like hit with batons or shot with rubber bullets. And in Canada we have the Special Investigations Unit that is supposed to go and charge police officers, because everyone sort of knows the cops don't charge themselves, so then they set up this special body that charges the police, but of course they never charge the police either, so they just come back and say, oh, we could not identify this person, and it's so ridiculous that the Toronto Star had to come out and say, oh, here he is, we found out who he is, this is the guy. And then after it's, you know, on the front page of the main newspaper, then, you know, they finally went ahead and charged this one guy. So, you know, in the aftermath of all this, it was, yeah, just this one cop that got charged twice, and then I think about a month later, then they charged this second cop again after the Toronto Star identified him, you know, through videos and pictures that people had sent into the newspaper. So, you know, the mainstream media can be helpful, because even though we had been talking about this stuff on YouTube and on the internet for a long time, you know, when it was front page of the main newspaper every day, then the police finally had to do something. And, okay, we charged two police officers, which, you know, was, you know, they sort of had to do something. They couldn't just charge no one, I guess, because then it would be too obvious that it was just a giant cover-up. But, you know, it's not really very much justice to charge, you know, one or two cops in this whole ordeal where, you know, 1,100 people were arrested, where, you know, females were threatened with rape, where females were searched by male officers and, you know, sort of groped and molested. There's even a 57-year-old amputee who only had one leg and one artificial leg. And when the police told him to get back and move, he couldn't get up quickly enough. And so the police tackled him, arrested him, and ripped his artificial leg off and told him to hop to the squad car. And this is a 57-year-old man who was there with his wife and daughter, who was actually a Revenue Canada employee, sort of like one, like an IRS employee of Canadian equivalent. So there's all these kind of horror stories.
Oh, that's bad, man.
Yeah.
So, well, see, these are great propaganda pieces. Like, the more they crack down on people, the worse it makes them look.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and this is totally unjustified. Like, okay, like, the public might not have a lot of sympathy for some, you know, punk kid with a blue mohawk or something, but, you know, when it's some guy who looks like, you know, someone's grandfather is getting treated like this, and they're thrown into what sort of looked like a Guantanamo Bay style of, like, temporary detention center. We nicknamed it Torontanamo. And, yeah, there were 1,100 people in there. Thankfully, I wasn't arrested, but, you know, from the stories I've heard, it was...
Well, did you say 1,100 people in there?
Yeah, 1,100 people were arrested over the weekend and put into this giant sort of temporary detention center with sort of cages, not like jails, not like cells, but like cages, like one after another. You know, people were saying, yeah, it was like something out of the X-Files, and they were given very little food and water. You had people passing out because they didn't have enough water to drink. They were given cheese sandwiches. And, you know, these are just normal people. These weren't, like, the Black Bloc protesters. These were just sort of random people who were rounded up or just sort of happened to be the wrong place at the wrong time. There's even a TTC employee. The TTC is our like our subway and bus system. He was on his way to work. He's a ticket collector, and he was wearing his uniform. And he was just walking to go to work, and the police tackled him and threw him in this detention center for 36 hours. Yeah, and it's just totally ridiculous. And again, there's still been no accountability for any of this stuff. And it's just shocking that Toronto police officers would treat, you know, people this way. Because all the police there
We've got to go to break. We'll talk about this more after the break.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution. Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Him, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Protesters with my massive nightstick. I'm God made it in China and I imported it right over here. Smashed several heads in and then it just broke on me. And now I'm gonna go back and buy some more until the police department's corrupted. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My guest here, now joining us by cell phone. It's Adam. Welcome back, mate. From underoccupation.com.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry if the connection before wasn't too great. Hopefully this is better.
It is. Now, you were kind of on a bit of a ranting roll there, talking about how these massively awful kind of stories are coming out. These horror stories, as they're quite often known. But have you noticed that there's so many horror stories, and the word horror story has been repeated so often that it's lost its effect? Like, people have become sort of accepting of them. It's like, oh, well, that was really bad. And they don't really feel the horror and terror of, same deal with, say, bombs being dropped in Iraq. People don't really, doesn't register.
Yeah, it's true. Like, a million people were killed in Iraq or something like that, and people are like, oh, well, I guess a million people got killed in that war. You know, it's kind of a lot of people, and it's, I guess, it's sort of just a statistic by that point, but, you know, thankfully, yep. At these G20, I guess in the G20 protest in London, someone did get killed. I guess it was obviously sort of accidental. The police didn't mean to kill him, but, you know, thankfully...
Oh, well, that's positive.
Yeah, you know, obviously when you drop a bomb, that is sort of intended to kill people. But, yeah, no, here in Toronto, thankfully no one got killed, but still the way that people were treated was pretty outrageous, and especially just sort of average, you know, normal Canadian people. And the shocking thing is that this was all done at the hands of Canadian police, like a lot of Toronto police, but they had flown in police officers from all around the country, so it was, you know, from Calgary and Montreal and people from everywhere. But to think that the police would really treat you like this, like you hear about that, you know, this sort of treatment, you know, for minorities sort of in the ghetto, and, you know, that, yeah, people, you know, in the poor areas sort of get mistreated by police like this, but you don't really think it's going to happen to sort of, you know, like your middle class people, but it did. They, at least at the G20, they didn't really seem to discriminate, and they sort of went after pretty much everybody. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't discourage people from protesting again, but I think that was sort of the objective, was to sort of scare people away from stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully people still keep going to these protests, just, you know, sort of keep your distance from these police and maybe be aware of some of the kettling tactics and things that they use, and, you know, maybe be prepared to, you know, if you're going to, you know, protest the banksters or whatever, you got to sort of be prepared to, you know, maybe get pepper sprayed or shot with rubber bullets and stuff like that. It's certainly, you know, no place for children or people who aren't really prepared to deal with that sort of brutality. But I guess it's,
but no, then again, like, you know, you have to go out there no matter what, I believe, because if they keep doing it and then it actually does discourage people from coming out, then they win.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, a lot of, you know, our ancestors had to fight wars and stuff. So if all we have to do is go protest and we risk getting shot by a rubber bullet, it's, you know, it's not as bad as getting shot at with real bullets, at least. So, you know, at least we don't have it quite as bad as some people that had to actually risk their lives for freedom. All we have to do is sort of go out and protest or make a few YouTube videos, and hopefully we can change things that way without, you know, having to, you know, actually go to war against the Nazis or something like that.
Well, I'm sure those people at a time thought that they would ride on the accomplishments of the people that came before them, and thought that they wouldn't have to lay down their lives in order to defend freedom once before too, you know. And that's how I feel it really is that history keeps repeating itself because people don't listen to it. And as a result, we have this generational extermination that kind of goes on, both in mind and body. One generation will get dumbed down and forget why the previous generation died to keep them alive.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if all I have to do is, you know, make a documentary or something like that, that's certainly a lot easier than, you know, getting on a boat or a plane to go to Europe to fight the Nazis, or go to some jungle, you know, some island to fight the Japanese. Like, certainly what I've had to go through is nothing to take a few months out of my life to make a documentary. You know, that's the least, obviously, I can do to sort of, you know, help my country in, you know, defeat tyranny and stuff. So,
well, here's the interesting thing about our countries, right, is that they've all been set up and their flags designed by these monsters. You know, I mean, what does it mean to have a country anymore?
I'm a big fan of my tax farm. I think Canada is the best tax farm there is out there. So, but yeah, no, ultimately it's all just, you know, we're all sort of on the same planet and everything. And just because I'm in Canada and you're in New Zealand, or, you know, we're all sort of fighting the same battle. And,
well, and that's what I'm kind of getting at here, is that we only identify ourselves as Canadians or New Zealanders or Americans because we were born within that structure that says this particular part of the world is America, right? As opposed to you were born as part of a global citizenship, New World Order type thing. And I'm sure eventually it's going to be just that easy to make people identify themselves as children of the European Union or children of the North American Union or children of District 7 in Los Angeles, smart growth, cell block B, you know? it just seems that the conditioning that we're all experiencing as a whole has to be resisted in its entirety. Like we've got all this identification with things that basically are just put there to distract us. I feel that it's not about a country, not about a border or a particular area so much as it is the culture, the people within that culture that you feel some semblance of brotherhood with, you know, those people that you want to protect and stand up for, because at the moment they're working really hard themselves just trying to feed their families. They don't have time to come out and do this, and I do, so therefore I must do it on those people's behalf because that's my duty to my people.
Yeah, well said. It's pretty great, I think, that you know, especially like with the internet, it's pretty easy to look at what's happening all around the world and to, yeah, not just be focused on what's happening in your country, but to realize that everyone in every country is sort of dealing with the exact same things. It's not like, you know, just Canada or just the U.S. has a police state. Like, this police state is sort of popping up everywhere, and, you know, obviously these people are, you know, trying to form a world government, and so we're all kind of in the same boat, I think. So I guess what is like, we've got to, you know, we don't want to all just hang separately. We sort of, you know, should be helping each other because we're all fighting, you know, basically the same battle.
What some guys did on a YouTube video yesterday, I think, or it might have been the day before, talking about the Wall Street protest. Now, in fact, what we should be doing, instead of occupying the main financial districts where none of us live, we should be occupying our homes. Okay, occupy your neighborhoods. If anybody comes in to try and foreclose off you, the whole neighborhood just comes out of their houses and just says, look, you guys, bugger off. Leave them alone. We're occupying this neighborhood. Nobody's getting kicked out. Nobody's getting foreclosed on in this street, buddy. Get out of here.
Yeah, and actually next weekend, on Saturday, there's going to be an Occupy Toronto protest, and it's happening in a bunch of cities all across Canada and across the world. So I think we're all, you know, everyone, I guess the people in New York sort of started it, and we're going to hopefully continue it here in Toronto next weekend. But the thing that concerns me about that is that, you know, I think some of these people are just communists and socialists and
yeah,
just want to raise taxes on people. And so, like, the reason I'm going to go next Saturday is to, you know, I'm trying to think of a good sign, and I know a lot of people come up with the signs like capitalism isn't working. So I think I'm going to have one that says socialism isn't working, and, you know, instead of end the Fed, I'm going to maybe end the Bank of Canada or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I thought about another one. Fascism equals public-private partnerships, or public-private partnerships equal fascism.
Yeah, because that's really what we have, like, here in Canada, and I guess also in, you know, in Australia and New Zealand and, you know, most of the European countries. It's sort of this mix of socialism and fascism and communism and still a little bit of free market capitalism still mixed in there, so it's kind of a mix of everything, but it's certainly not the free market that did all this.
Yeah, exactly. The free market was killed. It didn't die, it was killed to make way for monopolistic banksters who have the capability of magically creating money out of thin air to buy up real assets with it, toss everybody else out on their ass, and then when they're destitute, angry enough, they'll use that anger to justify a terrible police state to exterminate everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be back right after the break. The phone lines are now open. If you want to start contributing into this discussion, the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. The Vinnie Eastwood Show, back in a moment.
Information too bad. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio because it's accelerated by nuclear particles from Fukushima. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show from the lively, slave-like South Pacific, the island-chained nation, and the fluoridated capital of Auckland. Welcome back to my very special guest. As well, Adam Letterlick. Welcome back, mate.
Thank
Let's
you.
Talk Good about the on the street sort of thing. Because when you're on the street, and I want to talk tactically here, what is the best position to be in, you know, with your camera? I mean, me, I'm all over the show. I'm in the middle of the protest. I'm walking up the sides and I try and make myself kind of prominent and whatnot so that I don't look like part of the, just part of the crowd walking along. Like I actually look recognizable. I'm huge. I'm 6'4" sort of thing. And basically, I'm hiding in plain sight.
I don't know, really. Like, I think at the G20, like, there wasn't really one person that got all the good shots. Like, the good thing was is that there were so many thousands and thousands of people that all had their cameras. So, you know, everyone just sort of captured what they saw, and that it's only afterwards that you can sort of put the pieces together. Like, in hindsight now, what I should have done is, like, a lot of people were on Twitter and stuff like that, so if you actually have, if you have, like, a cell phone that can hook up to Twitter and stuff like that, I think that was a way a lot of the people could communicate, and that's how some of the people knew what was going on. It was like, I didn't really know what was going on anywhere, but some of the people were all communicating and talking with each other, so I think the key thing is, yeah, sort of get hooked up to some of this, you know, like social media stuff, and then sort of figure out where the action is, and then if you do that, then you can sort of go to the right place where the stuff is happening, because like I was just sort of wandering around, not really knowing anything like what was going on. So I think that's probably the best tactic at these types of like events or demonstrations is to sort of be, you know, hooked into the internet so that you can sort of see what's going on kind of in real time and then try and get the good shots, you know, like when you find out, you know, the stuff that's happening. Otherwise, it's sort of just luck of the draw, you know, if you sort of happen to be in the right place at the right time. And I guess the key thing is keep your camera rolling, get lots of battery power and just try and keep filming everything because you never know what you might capture and what might be important.
And most importantly, if you're using the mini DV tapes, make sure your freaking heads are cleaned the day before you go out filming because there's nothing worse than just being about to be assaulted by a police officer and then suddenly dirty heads on your tape make all the footage go for like a half an hour worth of taping.
Yeah, and I've heard of some cases, not at the G20, but of, you know, of when you film police, that they then want to try and confiscate your film, and so some people like film it, and then after they're done filming it, they sort of have to get their flash drive out and, you know, and sort of hide it so that they can't sort of delete it afterwards. So, you know, that also might be something to consider to, you know, once you get something important on tape, maybe, you know, take that hard drive out and then start filming on a different one so that, you know, if you do get something really important, make sure it's not just going to get, you know, confiscated by police because they can say, oh, well, we need this for investigation purposes and just take your camera away and then you'll probably never get it back. And that actually was the case at the G20. Some of the people that were arrested,
you know, they came, they're like, oh, the police took my $3,000 camera and they never got it back. And so you obviously don't want that to happen either. So, but the good thing is a lot of cameras are pretty cheap these days too. So especially maybe take a backup camera or, you know, one or two, you know, cheap ones and stuff with, you know, some extra memory space and, you know, just make sure to get everything on tape. And then afterwards, then you can sort of go through it and find out what's important.
Yeah. But of course, the most important point is actually be there. There's nothing to film if you ain't actually there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you do have to be there. And it seems like these, you know, the globalists sort of like to go around to all the major cities all around the world, and they're meeting more and more often. And every time they meet, it seems like the police state measures are just getting more and more, you know, crazy. Because, like, I think the one before, like, there was one in Pittsburgh, I think in 2009, if I remember correctly, and but they only spent something like $20 million on security there. And, you know, the next year they spend in Toronto about $1 million.
Only on $20 million, so. You know, you can only survive. How many people's wages is that a year?
Well, quite a bit. Like, I think that's pretty much like the entire like Toronto police budget that they pretty much spent over the course of a weekend. And these cops were getting paid ridiculous sums of money, and you know, and some of the stuff afterwards, yeah, like they spent tens of thousands of dollars on glow sticks and just sort of random.
Yeah, so like later on when the cops are in their fluorescent jackets in the middle of the night, they can hit the clubs and go... But here's the calculation for you. In New Zealand, the average income is about $26,000 a year, New Zealand dollars. That would... So they'd spent $20 million, right? That's, yeah, 769 people's yearly income.
Yep, that's pretty disgusting. And that tax money is obviously taken at the barrel of a gun, because you know what happens when you don't pay your taxes, then the police will come after you. So, you know.
And for how many days security was that? For like 1 day, 2 days, 3 days?
It was basically like 2 days, like two main days. But I think a few days before that they were sort of meeting at a... just at a town, sort of like an hour or two outside Toronto. But it was
like
mainly
10 million a day.
Days.
That's like more than the Glastonbury Music Festival cost to put on.
Yeah, they actually spent more on G20 security than they did on the entire Vancouver Olympics when Vancouver held the Winter Olympics. I know, like, Vancouver at least got to have this, you know, nice Olympics and everything, and all we got was the G20 and, you know, a few cheese sandwiches and the jail cells. So,
yeah,
you know, it would have been nice to have at least
water.
Had the Olympics if you're going to spend that kind of money.
Was the water that they gave you at the jail cells at least fluoridated?
I would assume it would be. I would expect nothing less.
What do you reckon, like 400 parts per million?
I could only imagine. I have no idea. They actually had like lots of like bottled water and like fruit and everything that they sort of showed. You know, they said, "Oh, we had all this stuff," but apparently, what they did is they just gave everyone sort of these little like paper cups, just like their little Dixie cups, and then they went around with sort of a big jug, like filling it up for people. So. Yeah, people got very, very little amounts of water, and they had to sort of, like, they said they had to, like, riot for water. Everyone was shaking the cages, demanding water, demanding food, like, let alone, like, you know, legal counsel, because everyone has a right, at least in Canada, to, you know, contact a lawyer and stuff like that after they get arrested.
You know
what?
People
weren't given any of that.
I would have taken advantage of a situation like that. Look, you're in a big warehouse. And you're with 1,100 other protesters who are also there, obtained probably illegally by the police, okay? You're all angry. Why not start a big freaking massive chant going to demoralize the bastards?
Yeah, there is some creative way. Like, I heard one story in one cell about, you know, one guy found a condom in his wallet, and so he sort of blew it up like a balloon, and half of these people are still handcuffed and stuff with their hands behind their back, and they sort of played a condom ball of don't let the condom balloon touch the ground, and think that kept them entertained for a couple hours, and they sort of joke that, you know, when there were 40 guys in this cage, you know, as soon as someone found a condom, then they all started having a lot of fun, so.
Hey, yeah, that's like the jail cell volleyball. I like that.
Yeah. So
Volley Connie.
But yeah, at least, you know, I think they all became pretty good friends, and they were all, you know, sort of helping each other. And, you know, in one cell, there was a guy who was diabetic who, you know, wasn't given access to his insulin or wasn't given enough food to balance his blood sugar properly, and he passed out. And, you know, it's only then his cellmates that sort of finally got the attention of some cops to sort of, you know, help this guy out. So, you know, I think a lot of people in those cells, you know, did get to be pretty good, you know, friends with one another. And they, you know, they were trying to look out for each other, because certainly, you know, none of the police were looking out for anyone's health or safety.
Well, that's trauma-based learning, isn't it? People learn really, really quick, and they learn very, very solid rules when they're under situations of trauma, especially if they're learning it with other people who are going through the similar experience, and you form really tight-knit relationships. Same thing that happens in the military, same thing that happens with lawyers, doctors, those sorts of things when they're out of sleep and they're broke as, they don't have any time, they're just basically chilled into the sort of herd mentality, and everybody just sort of takes care of one another. And in some cases it's a good thing, like when you're actually being oppressed, but in some cases it's a bad thing, because in the process of getting all this stuff, you're actually being trained to be the psychopaths of the future.
Yeah, it seemed like what it was sort of, you know, this is what the FEMA camps are sort of going to be like, so this is all sort of what we have to look forward to, you know, when they
that would
the
be a creative
begin.
Let the roundup begin.
Yeah.
FEMA can't come into town.
Yeah, it seemed like it was sort of like a martial law training drill that they had in Toronto. And there, even the Ontario ombudsman, he did a report, but he was only tasked with investigating this one act called the Public Works Protection Act, which is sort of the law that they, you know, secretly passed, and that supposedly gave the police, you know, the powers to arrest everyone. And this was sort of a law that was, you know, passed, you know, I think in the 1930s, designed to keep, you know, the Nazi troops from, you know, sabotaging, you know, public works like power plants or something. And they actually used this sort of arcane law to go after the protesters and stuff. So
let me get this straight. They used things that were originally used against Nazis against their own people. Do you find an interesting discrimination here? And in New Zealand, we buy all of our paddy wagons from Volkswagen.
How ironic.
Get massive. it just shows that the Third Reich didn't lose the Second World War, did they? They just changed venues.
Yep. So
turned themselves into an international cartel.
So they used this old law that no one had ever heard of, and they sort of revived it, and it's called the Public Works Protection Act, and it's, you know, it was supposed to protect like public works, like a railway station or a power plant or a courthouse, and they just sort of used that for the entire downtown Toronto. And our ombudsman came out and said during his report that this was basically martial law that was declared. And so that was pretty significant that this, you know, major public official used the term martial law to describe what had happened, because, you know, even though his investigation was supposed to be quite narrow, I think after he saw what happened, he, you know, in good conscience couldn't, you know, had to speak out a little bit and say, yes, this was pretty much martial law. It was the most massive violation of civil liberties in Canadian history. So, you know, there have been some good people speaking out about it, but unfortunately nothing really seemed to get done despite the media coverage, despite all the stuff that happened. You know, there's a lot of press about it. But it's, I guess, you know, a year and a few months later, and nothing really has happened. No one's really been brought to justice. Like, again, two police officers have been charged, but, you know, we'll see if they get convicted or not. And but certainly, you know, none of the higher-ups who actually orchestrated all this, you know, they're all getting away with it scot-free. And it's, you know, pretty sad when they can be so blatant in their violations of our rights and have literally no consequences brought to them. So it's a pretty sad state of affairs. And, you know, and there were a lot of people, like, protesting. Like, after the G20, there was thousands of people that continued protesting. And, you know, shockingly enough, after the globalists all went home, after the big finance heads all went home, the police sort of went back to acting normally. And all, you know, at these other protests that happened, you know, in the subsequent weeks and months, you know, the police were acting totally fine and normal, and they would block the streets off for us and close them down so that we had a place to go around and protest. It was really just for those 2 days that the police basically went totally crazy. And, you know, maybe that's something to do with the fact that they were dressed up in, as stormtroopers, and probably told, yeah, go do whatever. And, you know, we saw what happened. But, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the stuff I'm saying, I'm really even not exaggerating at all. Like, you can see it all in the movie, all in Under Occupation. And, you know, you can hear the stories, like, right from the people themselves, and you can see the footage, and you can see the cops shooting rubber bullets at little girls, like, you know, not little girls, but, like, teenage girls. And, it was disgusting.
Yep, it seems like the most disgusting behavior is usually done by people who are just following orders. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and I order you to listen into us after the break and to call in 402-237-2525 for the fastest 2 hours in fascism. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2 month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive
radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it.
How many dudes you know wrote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic. Check a 1-2 from a crew coming through with your hype. Yet?
Welcome back to the Crusader. The Vinny Eastwood Show. Kicking it down here in the South Pacific. It's beer and barbecue season, and you're certainly going to need the barbecue to deal with the depressionary standard that is going to come around in the next financial year, considering we just got downgraded another notch down the belt. Instead of like AAA+, we went down to AA+, and now we're down to AA. I'm sure we'll be down to DD at some point, but I wouldn't think that would be too bad. Without question, there are banksters running the country. And that doesn't matter which country you're in. Frankly. You know, wake up to it. When you're voting for somebody, ask yourself, who do they used to work for? Who do they currently work for? And what aims are they really going to be working towards, considering their previous employment? All right, take my prime sinister, John Key, for example. Derivatives trader for Merrill Lynch, i.e. derivatives were the basic cause, if you had to nail it down, of the 2008 financial crisis. 2 years he spent as the head of derivatives trading as Merrill Lynch's representative on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, he comes back home to New Zealand after spending goodness knows how many years overseas as a businessman and whatnot, comes back with psychopathic eyes, instantly becomes the leader of the National Party, which had been out of power for like 9 years, and is elected Prime Minister by a huge majority basically moments later, and has a storm of positive press coverage building up to the election. Clearly biased throughout all the major newspapers. It was inextricable.
And now he comes in and he does what every prime minister and president does. He reneges on everything he said and continues to screw the country over just as bad as the last guy. In fact, he does it even worse. He even does even more bold lies. And he's even smoother. He's like the other guy, Mark 2. As if the scumbaggery had some description of wonderful children's deodorant sprayed on it to make the filth all go away. And people believe it. You know, the things they believe will never cease to amaze me. And I think this is a similar story. No matter what country you're in, does it? What do you know anything about the current Prime Minister of Canada, Adam?
Well, our current Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, he's the Conservative Party, which is sort of like equivalent to like the Republicans in the U.S. He just likes spending money on, you know, military industrial complex and prisons and stuff like that. And, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, the fiscal conservative, you know, party, but he's running deficits and, you know, still spending money. And obviously no one talks about, you know, real reforms. So I think we sort of basically have like three different socialist parties, and they're just all varying degrees of socialist or communist. We don't really have like a real free market option or anything like that here. And to be honest, not that the Canadian people even seem to really want that at the moment. They seem to really like all this socialism. They like the fact that their health care is free and the education is all subsidized and obviously free up until the end of high school. So I think it's only after all this stuff really collapses that people are going to realize, oh, wait, the government can't give me all the stuff they promised. They're not going to be able to give me the pension that they promised me, or they're not going to give me all this free health care that they said I was going to get and that I've been, you know, paying taxes for my whole career. And now when I finally get old, oh, wait, you know, I have to wait in line for, you know, 10 months to get an MRI or whatever it is. So, you know, I have a feeling a lot of countries are sort of in the same position where, you know, they sort of funded everything with sort of a Ponzi style system of, you know, money printing and deficit financing, and the unfunded liabilities don't really count. But, you know, we're getting to the point where, you know, eventually someone's going to have to, you know, realize that, wait, the countries are broke. The government can't possibly make good on all the promises they had. And, you know, even the so-called fiscal conservative party is certainly not at all fiscally conservative. They just choose to spend their money on, you know, wars and prisons and stuff like that, as opposed to, you know, the other parties would still spend money on that, but maybe we'll also throw a bit more money to the welfare people or something like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I've come to the conclusion that political elections in our countries are now very similar to the film Deliverance. You know, at first you're all singing the same tune, and then for some reason they decide to rape you. That's basically what it is. Like, when I walk into Parliament, that's what I hear in my head.
But I suppose that's also sort of a problem with democracy. It's like Canadians aren't, you know, and I'm sure this is the case in, you know, most Western countries. No, if someone comes out with a platform, oh, yeah, no one's going to get free health care anymore. Oh, all those retirement benefits that, yo, you're not going to get those either. Like, no one's going to vote for that. So they're just going to keep voting for the, you know, parties that promise them all the goods, and they're just going to keep electing all these Santa Claus prime ministers and presidents that promise to give them all this stuff for free. And I think it's only after everything sort of collapses and then people might realize, oh, wait, I guess the government was lying to me this whole time. And hopefully they'll realize that and, you know, the danger.
See, well, when people reach that recognition, there's a great American phrase that I think is just absolutely apt when somebody says, oh my God, the government's been lying to me this whole time. And here's the American phrase. Duh!
Yeah, I know, like, it's pretty obvious, like, you know, the data's pretty, you know, publicly available, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, like, in the U.S., like, it's impossible to pay the unfunded liabilities of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and in Canada, we basically have the same thing, we just call it, like, old age security, you know, the Canada Pension Plan, and, you know, our Medicare, Medicaid system is... You know, it's all pretty much just all as bankrupt, and it seems like most Western countries just run deficits and think that that's the way to go.
So you can be assured that Medicaid will be bought out by, like, Pepsi Cola or something, and they'll release it in can form, you know, drink a can of Medicaid.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to come down to. Oh, you don't get to see a doctor here, you get our super cure-all juice or something.
It'll be like that scene in Idiocracy where they go up to a Carl's Jr. machine trying to get some food, and it just spits out all this crap at them and says, you are an unfit mother. We're now going to take your child.
Yeah, that's a brilliant movie, and unfortunately it's a little too accurate, the stuff that's in there. You know, we're slowly turning into that Idiocracy type of world, it seems.
Yeah, it is pretty freaking terrible. And I think it's because people just being purposely dumbed down. Okay, let's not forget that there's so many additives in all of the soft drinks and stuff, and they're all marketed to kids, especially all this junk food. Okay, plus there's all the video games, so simultaneously you've wiped out children's health, right? Because they're no longer going out there and getting exercise. They're sitting at home playing video games all the time, and they're no longer getting any nutrients they need because all the food's basically been poisoned. So instantly, they've lost their ability to learn and be healthy and happy to a certain degree, right? And so that's a base from which children grow up now.
Yeah, though, actually, I love video games, and actually I'm playing a game right now called Deus Ex, which takes place in 2027, and humans have been, you can get augmentations, and you can get all sorts of, you know, like a robotic arm and all these implants, and the main character is actually fighting against the Illuminati, and then sort of later in the game, you know, this shadowy group that you're fighting, and he's like, oh, you mean the Illuminati? And they're like, oh, whatever you want to call it, the Bilderberg Group or whatever. And so they actually say some of this stuff in the video games. So actually, that made me really like the game a lot more, just because, you know, your character, Adam Jensen, gets to defeat the New World Order in video game form. So,
you know what? That's actually what I was thinking that this morning, that movies and video games actually now appeal to me more. Now that I'm a conspiracy theorist, now that I know some of the background storylines and things like that, because a lot of them are based on destroying the New World Order. That's what Avatar was about, really.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, you look at things in a totally new light, and, you know, people sort of think, oh, this is just sort of a made-up, you know, video game, but the world that they were saying is going to exist in 2027 may not be, you know, too far off, you know, sadly enough, so...
Yeah, well, but and on the same token, you know that while you're watching and playing these things, that it's part of the conditioning.
Yep. But trying I suppose once you've broken that conditioning, you know, once you break that
conditioning. Then again, somebody else has told me this, and I'm not sure whether or not it's absolutely true, but it conditions you whether or not you're aware of it. Like, if you know that it's a conditioning thing, that doesn't stop you being conditioned by it. Like, it automatically does it to your brain and implants things subliminally and what have you. I mean, I'm wondering just how sophisticated brainwashing has become in our daily life. Does it actually start to override our own free will at a base level sometimes? Does it implant certain thought patterns and things of that nature into our minds, open up dark pathways or whatever they're talking about these days in the New Age movement? Is it possible to resist all of that because we're surrounded by it constantly?
Well, I think the key is maybe not to get too caught up in stuff like this. Like, you know, I'm from Toronto. I love the Toronto Maple Leafs, the hockey team, and I still like to watch all the hockey games, even though I sort of know, okay, this is just a distraction, and you know, it doesn't really matter if my team wins or loses, but I still like to watch, and it's still fun. And I think it's the people that it's really dangerous for, the people who are really just obsessed with this and who don't know anything about anything else. I think once you learn, you know, once you've educated yourself and you learn what's really going on in the world, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking some time off to watch a sports game or to play a video game and just sort of have some fun and realize that, okay, this isn't, you know, all that important, but it's still sort of fun, you know, like hobby or activity, you know. But then as long as you're still spending, you know, some of your other time learning about real issues, it's the people who, you know, all they care about is football or something, and you know, that's their whole reason for living, and if their team
loses,
they're depressed for days on end, and that's
what
the
about,
danger.
What about those people who, you know, go to work every day, and they work really hard and what have you, they have to get up early and doesn't matter what, but when they come home, they plop themselves in front of the TV and command that nothing disturb them because, quote, I don't want to think about anything. Now,
I find that
to be not only a very common attribute, but one of the most very terrifying ones is that thinking has been, for some reason, viewed as a bad and stressful and more difficult thing, but I find it far more invigorating to sit down and watch a documentary rather than sit down and watch like a couple of hours of, some description of movie or crappy TV show or something like that. Although, I can understand that it is sometimes fun to sit down and watch an episode or two of Family Guy.
Yep, and yeah, that's why I do both, and I feel like, okay, I've watched a documentary today, now I can, you know, watch some other stuff too, and I get enjoyment from both of them in sort of different ways, and, you know, it's just the people who don't, you know, do that other bit that are just totally obsessed with, you know, whatever it is that they're obsessed with, like, you know, fashion, like girls want, you know, the latest designer stuff and all they care about are celebrities and, you know, the guys only care about their sports figures. Like, it's okay to do that a little bit as long as you're, you know, doing some other stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
we're talking
at the same
about
time.
We're talking about you've got two legs, right? And you can stand with a foot in each world. There is the world that everybody else perceives to be real, and then there is the reality, okay? And it doesn't mean because you know reality that you want to step completely out of that other world that everybody else is used to, because what you're going to accomplish is essentially isolating yourself and ostracizing yourself from everyone else. Because if this is the only thing that you talk about, nobody's going to want to talk to you because they're not educated. They don't have the same wavelength as you. And that's why you need to remember with your family members and your friends and all these people who call you a conspiracy theorist and everything like that, stop talking to them about conspiracies. Start talking to them about the things you used to talk to them about, those things that you used to be interested in, playing cards, playing video games, watching movies. Doesn't matter what it is. Find some common ground, because otherwise you're losing out on everything. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's life, but not as we know it. It's called the New World Order because there's no freaking escape. There is only resistance. And I feel that that is the most important thing that people need to realize. You cannot hide anymore. There is no point. The more you hide, the more bold your enemy becomes, the more you're in their face, shoving cameras in them, asking them questions they don't want to answer, screaming those things out on megaphones they don't want to hear, the better. Because every single person on this earth is currently being affected by the New World Order. Again, It's through everything. Think about your food. Think about your air. Think about your water. Okay? Those are the three most important things that you can look to see whether or not the New World Order is affecting you. Who owns all the massive soft drink companies? Military-industrial complex scumbags who cycle a whole bunch of drug money through Wall Street. Uh-huh. How interesting. Incidentally, they get that drug money in because the CIA sells it in the US, imports it by the billion-dollar plane load. Think about your water. What do they got in there? Oh, fluoride. Where does that come from? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a toxic waste that normally goes out of the chimneys of phosphate fertilizer industry. And they figured out that when they were releasing it into the air, it was incredibly toxic and dangerous for the environment. So what they do is they spray water over it, and then it condenses it into pure fluoride. Not pharmaceutical grade, very dirty, toxic waste, which is illegal to dump unless, and this is the great loophole, you sell it and then it's no longer classified as toxic waste. It's actually now toxified as a product. And it's bought up by local councils and municipalities and dump it into your city water supply. So they got you in the water as well. Think about the food that you eat. How long does it take to get to you? A week or so? You've lost 40, 50, 60% of the nutritional value of that food by the time you actually get to eat it. No wonder everybody's getting sick. And what happens when you do get sick? You go to a doctor and he gives you some description of magic pill that makes everything worse. There's more side effects than the listed possible, in inverted commas, benefits. And they cost you an arm and a leg. Everything's freaking rigged. There is no escaping it. There is only resistance. Bear in mind that we now have been granted, because of all these scumbaggery, filthy type agendas that are being implemented against everybody at all times, 360 degrees, 365 days a year, you're being killed. You're in the process of a soft kill bioweapon war. Oh, yes, you are. Believe it. There are viruses in your system right now from those vaccinations you had as a kid, which are latently creating cancer, as was exposed in a book called Dr. Mary's Monkey, where the US government specifically spent a lot of money to develop cancer viruses and nice little labs so that they could put them into the vaccines. What happens to your children that get aborted? Did you know that 13 million black children have been aborted since Planned Parenthood started up? Planned Parenthood, the organization started up by Margaret Sanger, who said the Negroes must never know that we have an agenda to exterminate them. That Planned Parenthood, that Bill Gates' father used to be the head of, that Planned Parenthood, that which used to be called the American Eugenics Society, that one? Yeah. 13 million black babies have been aborted. That is more black deaths than every single other cause of death so far in the 20th century to the black Negro population. Okay? You're being exterminated. And guess what they do with your fetuses? They sell them to vaccine companies so that they can use their baby livers, fetal livers, and various other bits to grow viruses on that still wind up having traces of DNA so that they can pump it into you at your local doctor. So you've got little baby DNA, aborted fetus material being injected directly into your bloodstream. Think about that if you want to freak out. And then think about all the people that say, vaccines are the safest thing ever. They're really good for you. Why would they lie to us? Okay, tell me a single ingredient, please. They can't. They have no idea. That's the problem we have in our countries, is that people have a general lack of understanding about where things come from. All right? They understand what a knife is, and they've used a knife before, but they don't know where it was made. They don't know who came up with the idea to make sharp blades out of steel and stuff like that, did they? They don't know the background behind things. Same with politics, same with the media. It's a real easy population to manipulate as a result. And this is a good thing, though, to a degree. It means that they can more easily be manipulated into realizing the truth with the right injection of information. Like from underoccupation.com and my very special guest, Adam Lederlich. Are you there, Adam?
I'm here, yes. And as far as spreading information, that's what I was trying to do with my films, and the 9/11 movie I made, like it's not going to be really any new information, to people out there who are already sort of woken up. But if you have people that still aren't convinced, what I was trying to do with my 9/11 movie was one of the three of the Under Occupation series, was really sort of put together like the irrefutable evidence and really sort of show people. So if you still have people that, don't really buy it, just say, hey, go to underoccupation.com, watch this one about 9/11, guarantee 100% it's going to convince people. Like, I don't know how anyone could, look at some of this stuff and just not believe it, because it's all, there, like, spelled out for you, and you can't really deny it or refute it. And there's tons of good documentaries out there, but what I was trying to sort of do with mine was sort of make them not make them super conspiracy-y, sort of have it more sort of more palatable to people who haven't really looked into this information before. So yeah, if you like, or well, first, I'm sure most of your listeners haven't seen any of my three films, but so yeah, if you're listening, go to underoccupation.com, watch the films, and if you like them, there's a little Facebook like button that you can click, and I love reading comments and stuff like that on YouTube. So yeah, if you guys like them, then please spread them around and share the videos with people, because I think, that's the videos, like on YouTube and the documentaries and the DVDs, I still think are pretty much the most effective way to wake people up. And I think, that's how I got woken up. I just, watched Loose Change, I saw it on the internet and downloaded it, and I was like, wow, is this true? It seems true. And I went and double checked everything, and I'm like, yep, this is pretty accurate for the most part. And, all it takes is that one, that one film, that one little spark, and, that can really make a lot of changes. Hello?
Yeah, the world is such a small place when you actually really think about it. It's just, like, the average size of the family, for example, 2.4 children means there's four people on average in a household. So that's how big the world is. It's actually small. It's only four people. It's just times 6 billion, 7 billion now.
Yeah.
So that's really what you need to understand, is that you're, and I'm sure maybe you know people, or you yourself have experienced this discrimination by your family and things like that, when people refuse to wake up to the truth of what's happening. And it's such a hard message to sell to them because of the fact that they know you. I've been a salesman before. The hardest people to sell to are people you already know. When people don't have a clue about you, they're so much easily taken in by you.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Yeah, the people you know are sometimes the hardest to sell. But I think it's a lot easier these days, like, talking about this stuff, back in, like, 2005 or 2006, like, it was pretty, out there. But these days, people sort of know about it, or they've heard about it, or they have a friend that knows about it. And so I think these days, people are sort of a lot more, they're a lot more willing to sort of look at some of this stuff, because, and also a lot of the stuff we've been saying is coming true. Like, I was telling people, like, oh, the economic collapse is coming, like, go buy gold and, prepare, there's a big collapse coming. And then, a year later it happens, and, all my friends who thought, oh, you're crazy talking about this, they're like, yeah, well, a lot of what you said is sort of coming true. So the more we're right about things, the better it is for our case.
Yeah, pretty much. Their old system is now dying. It's coming of age, essentially. And they've birthed us, and we're going to destroy them. Doesn't that sound like justice to you? To use the weapons of the enemy against them, to use propaganda and sophisticated psyop warfare techniques against the very people who use them to destroy you? That sounds poetic, doesn't it? Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you again sometime.